This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad that you are here today. I am also excited to welcome our guest on the show today, Kathy Lipp. Kathy, how are you?
I'm just so happy to be here, Katie. Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing just great.
And we're going to get into why you're so happy to be here in just a minute, because it's been quite a few, honestly, Kathy, it's probably been quite a few years, but even the last few days and weeks I know have been wild. So we'll talk more about that in a minute, but we are so glad you're here too. And let me just take a minute to introduce you. With wisdom and humor, Kathy Lipp offers hope paired with practical steps to live with meaning. I love that. I'm going to read it again. Hope paired with practical steps to live with meaning. Kathy is the author of 20 books, including Clutter Free, The Christmas Project Planner, The Get Yourself Organized Project, The Husband Project, and Overwhelmed. She is the host of the Clutter Free Academy podcast and speaks at conferences across the country. She's often featured on Women's World as one of their Ask the Experts, Focus on the Family, Mops International, Crosswalk.com, Girlfriends in God, and on Proverbs 31 Ministries, where she is part of the Encourage team of writers for Dayspring. Follow her on Instagram at Kathy Lipp. And then also, didn't say this, but Kathy just recently released a devotional called An Abundant Place with Sherry Gregory. And Kathy, I just love the title alone of this devotional book, An Abundant Place, for so many reasons. Honestly, because I think we don't often feel like we live in an abundant place as women. I think I always think of the idea of a cup on its side, and we live more of a place of it. Everything's just poured out and we're feeling a little bit empty. But certainly not necessarily like every day we wake up and go, I am just living in an abundant place. So I love that. And I know you even just shared briefly about how much this devotional is ministering to you in this current time. So talk to me about the heart behind the devotional. What was it that made you want to write something called An Abundant Place?
Yeah, well, Sherry and I had a book come out about 5 years ago called Overwhelmed. And, you know, you're not supposed to name a book with a negative title, right? But boy, women gravitated towards that book. That book was an important book in my journey and in Sherry's journey and a lot of people. And so our publisher said, would you be willing to write a devotional to the overwhelmed woman? And it had been on the back burner for a long time. And we finally said, okay, we need to get this done because there are a lot of women who are experiencing overwhelm. But we didn't want to write the devotion to the overwhelmed woman. We're like, what is the opposite of that? Mm-hmm. What is not the person, but what's that feeling versus being overwhelmed? Mm-hmm. And we finally came to abundance, mm-hmm. this place of abundance. And, you know, I think oftentimes when we think about abundance, we think about, you know, our resources, mm-hmm. but, you know, God talks about our abundance all the time, that he is willing to pour out all of his joy, all of his mercy, all everything that is his is available to us. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to talk about that, but we also wanted to say, hey, we recognize, you know, for you to experience this, oftentimes we're told, you know, we need to go on a retreat or we need to get alone. That's just not the reality for everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because, you know, my husband and I live in a place where people want to go on retreat. You know, we live in the mountains of Northern California, very close to Lake Tahoe. And I want to get away from my retreat location every once in a while. You know, there's always something about, you know, getting away. And let's be honest, we haven't been able to do that for a couple of years. Mm-mm. And so how do we have that place of abundance when we don't have as many choices as we normally would like to have? And so that's what this book is about.
I love that. And even listening to you, it's so funny because I can think of, I feel like you just really touched on something when I feel overwhelmed and you talked about how we have access to the abundance of God through him pouring out completely his joy and his peace and just the abundance of his riches. And scripture tells us that. But I find myself in these overwhelmed places. And all I can think about is how, you know, some of the words that cross my mind are not enough. There's not enough of me. And you mentioned resources. Right. There's not enough time. There's not enough space. There's not enough financial provision. And all of those things are what are going through my head. And then I will think inevitably that I know I need to, you know, linger with God. Or maybe I think, I know I need to get away. I can sense that. And then the very next thought is, and when's that going to happen? Right?
Right.
Exactly. When am I supposed to do that? There's not even enough time for that. Right. And I'm usually like cooking spaghetti and then people are telling me about their homework while this is all going through my thoughts. Right. And so that, you know, the subtitle to this devotional book, An Abundance Place, is Daily Retreats for the Woman Who Can't Get Away. And so I love that you at least acknowledge that. Like, we know we need to. And I think we all kind of have those indicators. We know. Like, we know when it's all welling up and it's not going anywhere good. We can sense that. But we also know that we don't necessarily have the means or the availability or the option to get away.
Right.
So tell me about how this fits in to that woman who's listening and maybe even tearing up a little bit going, that is me. That's where I am. And I can't get away. What do I do? Where does this fit into her life?
Yeah. So I think what we have been known to do in our lives is we just grit our teeth and we keep cooking the spaghetti and we keep hearing about the homework. And yes, these are all good things, but it's very easy to deny that, you know what? I need something different. I need something. It's very easy for me to put the important at the very end of my day. Mm-hmm. And to, you know, well, I didn't get to it today. Let mm-hmm. me do that tomorrow. And so we have this, it can be resent building. You know, where like I'm pouring out. There is nothing for me until we feel like the only solution is that Hawaiian vacation or running off to the beach or running off to the mountain. And that's just not a reality for many of us. Right. My kids are out of the house and I thought, oh, this would get easier. Now, I am not comparing my hard to anybody else's hard because other people's hard can be super hard. But just trying to get away for a weekend when you have chickens at your house, it can be overwhelming. So sometimes it's like, it's just easier to stay here, but also it can build resentment. And so what I was trying to do with this book is say, you know what? We can experience God's abundance. We can experience the quiet of God, the refreshing of our soul. You know, more peace and joy. We don't have to always run away to do it though. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, how do we develop that daily habit of spending time with God, of saying no to the urgent that isn't necessarily the important? Mm-hmm. And how do we tap into that place that is good for our soul?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So many questions that I have. The first one I want to ask is, you just described two different things. One is urgent and one is important. Yeah. And I love what you said about how the important gets pushed to the end of the day. And then because it's pushed to the end of the day, it oftentimes doesn't even happen. And you just say, I'll do it tomorrow.
Right.
So for the woman who has all of the urgent in her face, yeah, how do we, one, distinguish between the urgent and the important? And two, how do we prioritize the important over the urgent?
So I feel like, to answer your first question, there are a lot of people who have a lot of urgent stuff going on right now. I 100% understand that. And I am not going to diminish any of that stuff. I will say, for myself, oftentimes things that were on my urgent list were not necessarily motivated out of the best places. When I look at my list, and if I'm talking to my husband and I'm explaining my list, and I'm like, okay, this is going to seem silly to him, but it's really, really important. And my husband would never say, that seems silly. But he might say, is that important to do right now? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, those tasks are on there because of fear, guilt, or shame. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, somebody is coming to the house. I just saw the funniest video. It was about how my mom thinks guests come to the house. And this person is like lifting up couch cushions and on the floor looking for dust under the refrigerator. And I have been that person where I have spun out of control. Like, if I do not clean under the bathroom sink right now, the entire world's going to come crashing down. And it's, as I'm telling you this, Katie, I'm like, this is the dumbest example because nobody thinks this except I do sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I've got this perfectionistic, people-pleasing streak in me that just sometimes gets out of control. Now, I will say, I love my husband to pieces. He is one of the best human beings I've ever met. And he has other streaks that get out of control. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not just a woman thing. This is a human thing.
Right.
Where, fear, what are people going to, if I don't do this today, the entire world's going to come crashing down.
Right.
If I don't do this, the guilt, my friend, Katie can do it. She's got 6 kids. Why can't I get spaghetti on the table? Why am I running through McDonald's, for the 5th time this month? Mm-hmm. And then shame. I should be able to do more. I should. Mm-hmm. I'm just lazy. And so anything that is getting on my list because of fear, guilt, and shame needs to be reevaluated. It doesn't need to be ignored, but it needs to be reevaluated. And then the important things, I think that oftentimes what I have noticed is when I've got a bunch of urgent stuff filling up my day and I'm not putting the important stuff on there, I'm not taking just a quiet moment to prioritize my day. Mm-hmm. And I want us to think about prioritizing our day differently. Prioritizing our day sounds very, type A. Hey, let's make, let's check everything off. Let's, let's put it in A, B, 1, 2, 3 priority. But here's how I would prefer for us to think about it. In the morning, how do I set up my day so I've taken care of my future self? So that at 8 o'clock tonight, Kathy can go, can get ready for bed, can snuggle with my husband and my dog, can spend some time. I can close my eyes and say, this is the kind of day that honored God, honored my work, honored my family, and honored who God created me to be. Mm-hmm. And, most days I don't check all those boxes. I'm just going to be honest. But I'm checking more of those boxes than I used to, and I'm so much more at peace.
Mm-hmm. You said a couple of things that, one, I didn't want to just move too quickly over what you said about resentment and about how we've just been trained to grit it out. But as we grit it out, there's an inner dialogue happening that we begin to tell ourselves no one cares about us and no one thinks of us and everybody just wants something from us or needs something from us, and we're gritting it out and we keep responding without retreating. to take care of our own hearts and souls. And then eventually we do it long enough that we've, the very people that we love and desire to serve, we've created resentment in our hearts and they don't even know it. And right. So it's not this selfish thing that we're talking about here. I think we can shift that to it being a service thing by choosing to take these daily retreats for our own souls. We are better serving the ones that we already desire to love and serve well. So yes. There's that I wanted to just circle back to. And then the other thing, as you were talking, you know, and you were talking about the fear, the guilt, and the shame. And I was nodding along all the time because I think sometimes we do it and we don't even recognize that we're doing it. And so I think for you to use that word reevaluate, I love that because we can at least pause to consider why it is urgent. Why do we believe this has to be done immediately or today? Is there fear, guilt, or shame involved? And the other thing that I just kept thinking about as you were saying those words and describing those situations is the amount of additional overwhelm and exhaustion that comes when we carry those burdens of fear and guilt and shame, because we'll be responding to those. And even if we respond in the way that our guilty self felt like we should, right? We feel like we got it right, you know, even though we were acting out from fear or guilt or shame, it's still not better. It's not better just because we didn't go through McDonald's and we did cook spaghetti, right? It didn't help anything. We still feel the overwhelm because we haven't addressed the fear or the guilt or the shame that motivated it. And that is huge. And so now I want to move into the opposite of that. You know, you've given us some really, like we've talked about, some really practical ways that we can at least begin to identify and reevaluate urgent or important. And I want to get into the daily retreats that we're talking about. It brings to mind, I talk about this in the Bible study that I wrote, She Smiles Without Fear, and it's the last chapter, and it's about living faithful today. That one way we smile without fear of the future is to live faithful today. And I use this analogy because my family and I, Luke played in the NFL for 13 years. We moved a lot. We packed a lot of U-Haul trailers, moving our things across the country. And one particular time we packed the U-Haul trailer wrong and we had to pull over in front of a post office and unload the entire thing on the lawn and then load it back the right way. And it was quite an ordeal. Some women thought we were having a garage sale, the whole thing. And I think Luke would have sold it all at that point. But the problem, the issue was not what we had in the trailer. The issue was how we loaded it. Mm-hmm. We put the wrong things in first. And so the things that should have gone in first, that would have anchored the trailer to the vehicle, those things that should have gone in first didn't go in first. They went in last. And consequently, the car wasn't pulling the load. The load was leading the car. And I think that that just reminds me so much of our hearts. And if we load the urgent things in first and we let the daily retreats with Jesus become the last thing that gets in and maybe it doesn't make it in at all, it's not that we put wrong things necessarily in our hearts. It's that we didn't put the anchor in first. And so consequently, the load is what feels like leads our lives, instead of the abundance of Christ being our anchor that then leads the load that we will inevitably pull. So talk to us more about these daily retreats. What can they look like and how do we incorporate? And I love the idea of a daily retreat. So just tell me more about that.
Yeah. So, you know, we wrote a lot of short devotionals. There are 40 in here. And what they are, they're very small. So we've got, you know, just a couple of pages, but then we give you an opportunity to just really quiet yourself for a moment. And we talk about creating space. And so what we do is we, you know, we wrote the devotional and then we ask you to take the next most faithful step, you know, a question to consider, that kind of thing. So then we wanted to give you a retreat experience. Both Sherry and I speak at retreats all the time. So one of the things we ask you to do is we have a passage of scripture for each of these. So to speak that passage of scripture three times, to just speak it over, because when you, it's easy to skip over important parts when you are reading it, but when you speak it, you take care and it uses different parts of your brain. And then we've given you some questions to ponder. What does the passage say? Why is God bringing this passage to you now? Who comes to mind as you read this passage? What thoughts come to mind as you ponder? And then act. Is there something God wants you to do because of reading this today? And then commit, but we've kind of flipped it on its head. What has God committed to you in this verse? What promises or truths can you make room for in your thinking? How do you think about this in a different way? Mm-hmm. And then express. Finally, take a moment to express aloud how God, how you think and feel about your time making space for him in this scripture. And so like, what has he expressed back to God? What it is that he has impressed upon you, you know, what new things have you learned about God through the scripture, all of that. And it gives you time for an experience with God that you might not otherwise have.
Mm-hmm. I love this idea of space and retreat. I think sometimes, and I feel like I've talked about this on the podcast before, but sometimes we can approach our time with God just like one more thing that we're supposed to do, or one more thing we need to do. But when we use words like retreat, a daily retreat with Jesus, or we use words like creating space, I feel like it more accurately describes what we have to receive in, mm-hmm. you know, in doing this regularly. I think about in Mark chapter 6, and Jesus tells his disciples, come away with me and let us rest. And to me, that just reminds me of what you're describing right now. It's this invitation to get away with Jesus for just a minute, rest, refuel, refocus. And, you know, this idea of creating space, I'm just kind of struck by the things that we do make room for in our lives, the things that we have already created space for in our lives. And why wouldn't this be one of those things as well? You know, we know that the Bible tells us Jesus did it. Luke, I think it's Luke chapter 5, it says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. And we know that Jesus had a lot on his plate. You know, if there was anybody who had demands in this life, he was the one with all the demands, and yet he still often withdrew. And so I love what you're describing, and I love the very practical ways you told us to approach it, because the fact of the matter is sometimes we will get away. We will take our daily retreat and our mind will be running a million miles an hour. And so the practical mm-hmm. thing of reading the scripture out loud, it will just quiet our mind of all those other things, because we have to focus on the words that we're saying. So that's such a super practical thing to do. And with this resource of the questions, you know, to guide our thoughts, it takes the guesswork out of it for us. So it just seems so very approachable and doable, even for the woman who can't get away. I want to ask you, and I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, so I might be putting you on the spot, but I am curious if you like have a favorite one of these devotions out of the Abundant Place book. Is there a favorite one, or is there like a favorite group of ones?
I'm trying to remember the name of it, but I will say it's one about work. It's about how when people come to our house, we call it the Red House. And the Red House is in the middle of the, you know, El Dorado National Forest. And it's, oh, it's called Working It Out. It's on page 77. Okay. And how people want to come to the Red House, it's really, it is a retreat. And it's interesting. We have three groups of people. The first group of people come and say, you know, I went, well, let me start off by saying this. We always tell people, you are welcome to come up. Now, here's the deal. Until 8 o'clock, we're going to serve you the best breakfast in the world. You know, our chickens have laid the eggs. We're going to make sure, we're going to give you a farmhand breakfast. It's going to be wonderful. And then at about at 5 o'clock, we are going to sit around the fire pit. We're going to have a cheese board. We're going to have charcuterie. Then we're going to have dinner. We're either going to barbecue. It'll be on the stove. It's going to be wonderful. But between 8 and 5, we cannot entertain you. There is too much work to do on the mountain. Whether we're working our full-time jobs, I'm an author. My husband works for a Fortune 500 company as a manager. We have to work between those times. And we've tried to do it where we'll work ahead. But here's the thing. The mountain has its own calendar. Mm. And, you know, the chickens, their coop needs to be cleaned, whether it's a holiday or not. Mm-hmm. And so we say between the hours of 8 and 5, you need to entertain yourself. Now, if that's just taking a 9-hour nap, 100% fine. If that is, you go off and we have a lot of wineries around it, whatever you want to do. So we get one of three response. Well, we get one of two responses. Some people will say, I'm just going to rest the whole time. I'm just going to sit here and read a book. And we're like, that is great. Go for it. Enjoy yourself. You know, that's where you can find your lunch. Help yourself. Do what you need to do. Because we just need to be free of other people's schedules so we can get done what we need to get done. And then we have other people who are like, nope, I want to chop wood. I want to cut down trees. I want to feed chickens. I want to plant, you know, in your greenhouse. People love to work. We are designed for work. And I've been surprised at how many people want to just come up here and chop wood. Then there's a third group. These are the people who have said, hey, I just want to relax the whole time. And then about 3 o'clock, they're like, can I clean out your fridge? What can I do? I just want to work. And, you know, in scripture, it says that God has established the work of our hands, that we are designed for work. And our objective should not to be not to work, but to do work that is meaningful, to do work that is profitable, to do, because there is something off when we don't want to work. For some reason we have demonized work. Mm-hmm. In, you know, that the goal is at some point you're just never going to work again.
Right.
But here's what I believe that God has designed me for a purpose. And my purpose doesn't come at 55 or 65 when I retire.
Right.
You know, it doesn't come to an end. That it continues on, and that we need to be constantly looking for what is the work of the hand, my hand, that God has established. And it says that when God establishes the work of your hand, that the favor of God rests on us. And to think about it, that when we are favored, God establishes our work. Mm-hmm. And the juxtaposition of how the world thinks about work and how God has designed us to think about work just really struck me, especially, you know, living up here in the mountain in San Jose. I'm from Silicon Valley. You know, you can get to the end of your workday. And if you want to, Uber Eats can come to your house. A house cleaner can come to your house. Somebody can pick up your car to take it to be serviced. We lived in a townhouse, so somebody else was cutting our grass. You know, the Safeway would drop off our groceries. It's different when you live in the mountains, but the work, while it's hard, is also life-giving. Mm-hmm. and to rethink about how we think about work, to not avoid it, but to make sure that we are working for a purpose and we are not just running around in circles, mm-hmm. but we are working for a purpose to honor God, honor families, honor the people that God has put in our lives.
Oh, that's so good. I love that. And yes, I was looking at that devotion as you were talking in the book, An Abundant Place. But yeah, I mean, what excitement and what a shift mm-hmm. when we approach work like we're working on purpose for God's purposes versus we're working on demand and the burden of trying to perform. So thank you so much for sharing that. And we're going to put a link in the show notes to An Abundant Place Daily Retreats for the Woman Who Can't Get Away. And I know that that can be such a resource for us. But even if you're about to order that on Amazon, you know, with free 2-day shipping, go ahead and start creating that space today. Kathy, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. It has really been, my heart is so encouraged after having this conversation. Thank you.
Well, thank you for creating space for the conversation. It's been wonderful, Katie.
And so, yes, I hope you'll all pick up An Abundant Place. And even before you do today, I hope that you will create space for a daily retreat with Jesus. And I know that when you do, that will lead you to have your best day ever. Thank you for joining us.